This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Have killed three more Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. As NATO leaders prepare for a summit, Ukrainian president warns the coalition's indecision about membership bids by Sweden and Ukraine could threaten global security. And the U.S. Treasury Secretary is in China for talks aimed at easing tensions over trade. Everyone, and a very warm welcome to World News. In the occupied West Bank, no sooner have Palestinians buried their loved ones than more have been killed by Israeli forces. This full view Friday when three Palestinians were killed in a matter of hours. Two Palestinians were shot dead by Israeli forces. Three others were injured, while several were arrested. And later in the day, another Palestinian was gunned down by regime troops in Ramallah. Now, several Palestinians have also been injured in anti-Israeli protests throughout the West Bank, including Al-Khalil and Qalqilya. The resistance movement Hamas has vowed to avenge these deaths and continue resistance until the full liberation of occupied territories. Earlier this week, Israeli forces conducted a large-scale operation in the West Bank city of Jenin. A dozen Palestinians were killed and scores wounded. Israel has escalating its crackdown as of late, killing some 200 Palestinians so far this year. Mick Napier with the Scottish Palestine Solidarity Campaign says the Palestinians have no way but to intensify their resistance against the occupying regime.
What's new is the public discourse. The killing has been the killing has been regular or irregular, repeated since 1948. This particular government's by no means the worst. It's simply the most shameless. In the past, Ben-Gurion and the so-called Labour Zionists have cloaked their ethnic cleansing, their mass murder, in smooth words for their Western allies. In order to disguise what's going on. These guys today feel no need to disguise what they're doing. They're really blood mad, they're crazy, and they wish to accelerate the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. The Israeli army doesn't arrest Palestinians if they resist, it kills them. And if they have been members of the Palestinian resistance, then the Israelis simply have killed them because they don't want to arrest anybody when they think they have fought back against the occupation army. This is a system based upon Jewish supremacy over non-Jews from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean. And we're seeing a spike in the killing. The Palestinians know that they are doomed if they do not resist. Not just the refugees pushed into Gaza, but now in the West Bank and even inside 48, they increasingly know that their future is to be driven out. Because Ben-Gvir and Smotrich and Netanyahu as well are sending signals to their political base that even those Palestinians who are trapped inside Israel in 48 have no future there, that they are tolerated until they can be moved. And of course, in the West Bank, we see helicopter gunships, we see missiles, drones, and so on. We're beginning to see the Gazaization of the West Bank.
The Ukrainian president has taken NATO member states to task for their disunity. At a previous point, Vladimir Zelensky cited indecision in the Western military alliance over Ukrainian and Swedish membership bids.
The fact that the issue of Sweden is not resolved yet and the issue of Ukraine's signal of invitation is not resolved, I think there is not enough unity in this. And this is a threat to the strength of the alliance. That is why we expect positive results or at least some steps towards a positive outcome. This is very important for the security of the whole world.
He made the remarks during a visit to Slovakia as part of a tour of several NATO states. Zelensky is pushing for Ukraine's accession to the bloc and to secure more weaponry. The Ukrainian president wants next week's NATO summit to lead to an invitation to join the alliance. Also on Friday, the NATO confirmed divisions within the bloc over how fast Kyiv should become a member. Still, Jens Stoltenberg promised the alliance will unite at the upcoming summit in Lithuania on how to bring Kyiv closer to joining. Kyiv is unlikely to be able to join, though, while at war with Russia, as that could mean direct confrontation between the military alliance and Moscow. The United States says it will send Ukraine widely banned cluster munitions as part of a security assistance package.
30% and 40%. In this environment, Ukraine has been requesting cluster munitions in order to defend its own sovereign territory. The cluster munitions that we would provide have dud rates far below what Russia is doing, is providing, not higher than 2.5%.
Ukraine is committed. Post-conflict demining effort to mitigate any potential.
Sullivan said Ukraine will not be using the munitions in foreign land. He added Kyiv has provided written assurances the weapons will be used carefully to minimize any risk to civilians. This comes as the munitions are banned by over 100 countries, including key U.S. allies. Deliveries will be part of the 42nd U.S. aid package for Ukraine. It includes munitions for howitzer cannons, Patriot air defenses, and anti-tank weaponry. This brings Washington's total aid to Kyiv to more than $40 billion since Ukraine war began back in February of 2022. Meanwhile, a spokesperson for the United Nations Secretary General says UN chief wants countries to stop using cluster munitions.
The Secretary General supports the Convention on Cluster Munitions, which, as you know, was adopted 15 years ago. And he wants countries to abide by the terms of that convention. And so as a result, of course, he does not want there to be continued use of cluster munitions on the battlefield.
Germany is also opposed sending cluster munitions to Ukraine. Berlin says this goes against the Convention on Cluster Munitions that bans such weapons on the battlefield. Germany is one of 111 states party to the convention. U.S. has now signed up to the pact. Cluster munitions typically release large numbers of smaller bomblets that can kill indiscriminately over a wide area, and that those fail to explode pose a danger for decades after a conflict ends. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is on a visit to China as Beijing and Washington are trying to mend ties. In our latest episode of our news review program, we asked if this visit will succeed in easing tensions between the two countries. Let's have a listen.
On this segment of the program, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is on a four-day trip to China to calm tensions in bilateral relations, especially over trade. Yellen says she's there to deepen communication and work toward a stable relationship. The Treasury Secretary says her country does not seek coupling of the two economies. She argues that would be destabilizing for the global economy. However, Yellen added the U.S. and its allies will fight back against what she called China's unfair economic practices, urging market reforms. Yellen has met with former Chinese economy czar Liu He. She's also set to meet with Premier Li Keqiang later in the day. Yellen's trip is part of a flurry of visits aimed at easing tensions between the two big economies. Last month, Secretary of State Antony Blinken visited Beijing. China has said the U.S. should take concrete actions to improve trade ties. Joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have senior fellow at the Chongyang Institute at Renmin University of China, John Ross, who's with us from London, and also author and researcher Greg Simons joining us from Riga, Latvia. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. John Ross in London, give us your perspective on this recent trip by the U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, and will it be doing any good?
Well, there's two aspects to it. One is why it's taking place, and secondly, will it do any good? Why it's taking place is clear, because the U.S. launched trade war and conflict with China has not been successful. I mean, we can take a balance sheet of the the last 3 years, for example, during the pandemic, and China's economy grew 2.5 times as fast as the U.S. during that period. It grew 6 times as fast as the European Union, incidentally. So it's been a total failure from the point of what was the aim of the U.S., which was to try to stop China's economy growing, and it hasn't even succeeded in cutting trade. So really, this is a rather round failure on the part of the United States, and therefore that's why Yellen wants to visit Beijing, because it's been a failure. Now, will it lead to something good? That depends upon whether she's prepared to draw the lessons. China's position has not changed. China's position has been constant. It would like to have good, normal economic relations with the United States. The only country which has created a problem in this is the United States. So if the United States wishes seriously to return to good, better economic relations, China, I'm sure, will reciprocate. But this has got to be real and not just words. I mean, unfortunately, the Biden has maintained all the tariffs introduced by Trump, has introduced further sanctions on chips, and all the words are not in line with actions, and China always judges people by their actions, not by words.
Greg Simons, the focus of this trip has been trade, but there's so much going on in the relations between Washington and Beijing. How can these trade differences be put aside, and how much of all of this is intertwined with the other issues, i.e. the territorial dispute that's taking place in the South China Sea, and of course the issue of Taiwan?
Well, the U.S. tends to bundle these things together, so one becomes dependent and contingent upon the other. The U.S. is also playing this zero-sum game, and I mean, what it's fighting for, what ultimate geostrategy is, outcome is to retain its global hegemony. So, I mean, what it's trying to do with the trade, with this Taiwan issue, with these other different things, trying to destroy the Belt Road Initiative, etc., this is all about trying to contain and control China, make it so that it's, because China is seen as the main threat and competitor to the U.S. globally, and potentially able to challenge its role as, although China says it doesn't want it, global leadership. So the U.S. is stuck in these old imperialistic kinds of mindset. Zero sum, they will win, this is all about pressure, and they believe that pressure has worked in the past. But the problem is it doesn't now, because other countries are not bowing to it, because it's not in their interests. It's self-destructive.
All right, thanks a lot, gentlemen. John Ross joining us from the British capital, London, and thanks to Greg Simons speaking to us from Riga, Latvia.
And crowds of Yemenis have taken to the streets of several provinces across the country to celebrate Eid al-Adhir. Yusuf Maori reports from Sana'a.
Yemeni took to the streets of more than 10 provinces to honor Imam Ali and his revered household on the auspicious occasion of Eid al-Adhir. Officials from Ansarullah Resistance Movement took part in the events, stating that Prophet Muhammad, some 1,400 years ago, declared Imam Ali as his successor and an example for Muslims to follow and support.
Today, we the Muslim nation have a decision to make. Either we become a member of the party of Allah, who is victorious, or we become a member of the party of Satan, who will lose. Rest assured, our faith in Allah, our honorable spirits, our Islamic upbringing, and our Quranic knowledge rejects that we will ever become a member of the party of Satan.
During a televised speech, the leader of Ansarullah, Malik al-Houthi, congratulated the Muslim nation on the occasion, warning of anti-Muslim plots hatched by the United States and Israel.
In this day and age, we see the enemy uses all its huge resources to push an agenda to deform and degrade mankind so that they can remain slaves under its rule of oppression and its darkness. The rule of Allah, however, guides mankind from darkness to light. This is why the Zionist, American, and Western lobby is declaring a war on the Holy Quran. They want to continue their falsehood. They want to continue misleading people.
During the celebratory events, Yemenis also condemned the latest Israeli attack on the occupied West Bank city of Jenin. They also slammed some Arab countries for maintaining ties with the Israeli regime. Eid al-Ghadir is an annual event held in Yemen to highlight the significant role Imam Ali and his blessed household played in spreading the true message of Islam. Observers believe the West is declaring a war on that message, and the Muslim world should follow the examples of Imam Ali and defend Islam. Yusuf Mawri, Sana'a.
Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure. IRIB English Radio.
زیارت غدیر. In the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. Salam alaikum. Here is the fourth and last part of the memorable ziyarat of Qadir, or standard form of salutation to the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, which we have been presenting you for the past 3 days. Please stay tuned. My master, it was through you that the truth prevailed, while the people disregarded it, and you expounded the precepts of Islam after they had become obliterated and effaced. Thus you were a forerunner both in waging jihad for the affirmation of the revelation, and yours is the merit of waging jihad for the sake of realizing its meanings. Your enemies are the enemy of Allah, deniers of the Prophet of Allah, who summon to untruth, judge unjustly, usurp power, and invite their confederates to hellfire. And there was Ammar, who, as he fought, cried out between the ranks of the confronting armies, "Come on, let's set out for paradise. When he asked for water, he was given milk to drink, whereat he glorified God and said, He, the Prophet of Allah, may Allah bless him and his family, had told me, Your last drink in the world will be that of curdled milk, and you will be slain by the rebellious party. Thereupon, Abul Adya al-Fazari encountered him and slew him, and may Allah's curse and that of his angels and all his prophets be upon Abul Adya, and on those who drew their swords against you, and on those against whom you, O Commander of the Faithful, drew your sword from among the polytheists and the hypocrites, until the day of retribution, as well as on those who view with approval what offended you and did not decry it, turning away their eyes without disapproving, or provided their support against you through deed or word, or denied you their help, or deserted their duty of waging jihad alongside you, or those who belittled your merits, contested your right, or regarded as your equals such persons over whom Allah had given you a greater right than they had over themselves. May Allah's blessings, His mercy, His bounties, and His greetings and salutations be upon you and the immaculate Imams of your descent. Indeed, He is the all-praiseworthy and all-glorious. But what is more amazing and more atrocious after the denial of your right is the wrongful dispossession of the orchard of Fadak from Zahra, the truthful and the pure one, the noblest of the world's women, and the rejection of your testimony and that of your illustrious sons and the progeny of the Mustafa, may Allah's blessings be upon you, while Allah the Most High had elevated your rank over the entire Ummah and exalted your station, and He had made manifest your excellence and honored you above all the world's denizens, keeping away all impurity from you and purifying you with utmost purification. Allah the Almighty and Glorious has said, Indeed, man has been created covetous. He is anxious when an ill befalls him, and grudging when good comes his way. All are such except the prayerful. Thus Allah the Most High made His Prophet an exception to that, as well as you, O Chief of the Legatees, and excluded all other people. So how misguided were those who wronged you with respect to your right and then, for the sake of deception, assigned you the share of the kinsmen while denying it to its rightful claimants. So when temporal authority came into your hands, you let the situation remain as it was before in regard to your rights and those of the Prophet's family, disregarding them for the sake of your reward with Allah. So your ordeal with respect to these two things was like the ordeal of the prophets, may peace be upon them, in their loneliness and absence of helpers. Your conduct in sleeping on the prophet's bed was like that of Ishmael, peace upon him, when you assented and obeyed, as he did, patiently and seeking God's pleasure, when Abraham said to him, My son, I see in a dream that I am sacrificing you. See what you think. He said, Father, do whatever you have been commanded. If Allah wishes, you will find me to be patient. And so were you when the Prophet, may Allah bless him and his family, bade you to sleep in his bed, and in this manner you shielded him from harm by risking your own life. You were quick to comply, having obediently prepared yourself mentally to be killed, whereupon Allah, the Most High, appreciated your obedience and expressed the gracefulness of your action in his words, may his name be glorified. And among the people is he who sells his soul seeking the pleasure of Allah. Yet again, your audio during the Battle of Siffin, when the scriptures were raised on spears as a deceptive stratagem, whereupon doubts arose in the minds and the truth was set aside and conjecture was followed, similar to the ordeal of Aaron when he was appointed by Moses to lead his people, whereupon they forsook him while he kept calling them, saying, O my people, you are only being tested by it. Indeed, your Lord is the All-Beneficent. So follow me and obey my command. They had said, we will keep on clinging to it until Moses returns to us. Such was your case when the scriptures were raised on spear points and you were saying, O my people, you are being misled and deceived by this means. But they disobeyed you and demanded the appointment of arbiters, whereat you declined their demand and deploring their conduct before Allah, and let them alone. So when the truth was revealed and their wrong stand was discredited, and they admitted their mistake and oversight of the goal. But then they fell into disagreement and blamed on you the folly of arbitration, which you had opposed and they had desired and which you had warned them against, while they considered it legitimate, and held you responsible for the sin that they had committed, although you were on the path of insight and guidance and they were in error and blindness. Yet they persisted in their hypocrisy and perversity until Allah made them taste the evil consequences of their conduct. Those who opposed you became wretched and perished, and God slew them with your sword. He revived through your proofs those who were felicitous and they were rightly guided. May Allah's blessings be upon you at every beginning and end of your days and during all your movements and pauses. No eulogizer can encompass your merits and no detractor can obscure your excellences. You are the best of the creatures with regard to worship, the most dedicated in piety, and the most zealous in defending the faith. With your efforts you maintained the laws of Allah and with your sword subdued the armies of the renegades. With your hands you extinguished the flames of war, and with your discourses removed the veils of doubt, separated the adulterating falsehoods from the pure truth without being deterred by the blame of any blamer in any matter pertaining to Allah. The commendations of Allah, the Most High, suffices you to do without the praise of any admirer and compliments of any praiser. And Allah, the Most High, has said, among the faithful are men who fulfill what they have pledged to Allah. Of them are some who have fulfilled their pledge, and of them are some who still wait and they have not changed in the least. Having seen that you had to fight the perfidious, the perverse, and the renegades, and that the prophecy of the Prophet of Allah, may Allah bless him and his household, had come true in what he had told you, and being content that you had fulfilled your pledge to him, you would say, is it not the time yet for this beard of mine to be dyed in the blood of this head of mine? Or when will the most wretched man from among these people rise up? You were convinced that you possessed a manifest proof from your Lord and full insight of your own affair, and that you will meet Allah rejoicing in the bargain you had made with him, and that is the great success. O Allah, let your anathema, accompanied with all your curses, be on those who slew your prophets and the legatees of your prophets, and make them enter the flames of your fire. Let your curse be on those who usurp the rights of your wali, refused to acknowledge his covenant, and opposed him after acknowledging and being certain of his authority on the day when you perfected the religion for them. O Allah, let your curse be on those who killed the commander of the faithful and those who wronged him and their followers and supporters. O Allah, bring down your terrible curse on those who wronged Hussein and those who slew him, as well as those who followed and helped his enemies, those who approved of his murder, and those who forsook him. O Allah, let your curse be on the one first to wrong the family of Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, those who denied them their rights. O Allah, single out for your curse until the day of resurrection the first one who wronged the family of Muhammad and usurped their rights, as well as those who followed his policies. O Allah, bless Muhammad, seal of the prophets, and Ali, chief of the legatees, and his immaculate progeny, and appoint me to be amongst their adherents, among those who obtain victory and security through their wilaya, and who will have no fear, nor will they ever grieve. Dear listeners, what you heard was the fourth and last part of our special program of the past 4 days and a special ziyara of the blessed day of Qadir for the commander of the faithful Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers in this program, trying to help me criticize movies with religious themes, in which this episode we try to criticize the movie Fatima, produced in 2020, directed by Marco Pontecorvo. Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me again.
You're welcome. And Brother Yasser, greetings.
Greetings back to you, Brother Jawad, inshallah.
Thank you very much. Inshallah, we in this episode and the upcoming ones, we try to address and criticize the movie Fatima, produced in 2020, starring actresses and actors such as Joachim de Almeida, Harvey Keitel, Lucia Moniz, Stephanie Gill, Alejandro Howard, George Blameless, to just name a few. IMDb, of course, gave this movie 6.6 out of 10, and Rotten Tomatoes, 57%. The box office was around $537,000, not million dollars. And I didn't find anything regarding the budget of this movie, by the way. And the whole movie is about a trial of faith unfolds at the apex of World War I, when secrets are revealed to three courageous Portuguese children through a series of apparitions, while their doubting family and aggressive government officials try to silence them. Let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, and then we'll be back with his criticism with Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah. Don't go away.
I believe. I have hope.
I have hope.
And I love God.
I love God.
I love God. Pray for peace.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers in the program, trying to help me criticize the movie Fatima, producing 2020, directed by Marco Pantecorvo. Sayyid Abdullah, one of the girls, basically Lucia, the major character in the movie, seems to have a vision of an angel-like or lady that we later on understand this is Virgin Mary, right, in the movie, as portrayed in the movie, teaching her to believe and love God and pray for peace in the time of World War I. After showing her a glimpse of the battle of the World War I.
Yep.
How could that happen? Can angels, Jesus, figures such as Virgin Mary be seen like that?
Well, it's a very complicated question. Mm-hmm. Like Brother Yasser always says, it requires you to dive into something else in order to get an answer. So you need to know how the other realms work in order for this to work.
Yes.
But generally speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given certain personalities the ability to come to earth. Now, whether they have or not, that's a different issue altogether. Mm-hmm. Now, for example, can Isa alayhi salam appear? Yes, he can. He's alive. You know, can his mother appeal? No, she's dead. Can Allah bring her to Raj'ah? Yes, he can. You know what I mean? Can the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam come back to life and walk around us without us knowing, or they can present themselves? They can. So the possibility of them doing these things obviously is always that they can do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grant them that permission. Mm-hmm. Do angels also take form to show themselves to people? They can. But always I would ask myself, like, for what purpose would that serve? Mm-hmm. Of an angel taking form and trying to teach kids to believe in God. Like, what purpose does it serve? Now, sometimes because with this movie specifically, because it is called Fatima, right?
Right.
And even the city now is called Fatima. It's about 71 kilometer square miles.
Why this name? Of all the names?
Yeah, so exactly. So, because obviously she announced her name to be Fatima. Now, when this happened...
But she says, I'm the lady of the...
Rosemary.
Yeah, so when it happened, I remember back in the day when I was a kid, when this happened, like, all the Shia went crazy. Like, this is Lady Fatima. Mm-hmm. Fatima al-Zahra, alayhi salam, appeared there. Now, the Christians, obviously, they don't believe in Fatima al-Zahra, so they have to call her the,
Virgin Mary.
The Virgin Mary.
Yes.
And so, obviously, then the story changes. It's not much of what actually, if I trying to think of the events, not much of what actually the kids were. The kids were in communication with the presence. Mm-hmm. Now, how did this presence take form? Obviously, that's not clear, not in the story, not in the movie either.
Yes.
So did the lady, whether it's Virgin Mary, whether Fatima al-Zahra or an angel, did they actually take a form? No one knows. But the least that they knew that there were some sort of communication, until there was a point where the miracle happened to prove the
existence of such a lady, because everyone was, you know, they had it until a point where it has to be done publicly. So, like I said, it's one of these concepts you really need to dig deep.
I see. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, so
for just cutting this story short for us. Thank you very much. Let's take a break by listening to a part of the movie Fatima, produced in 2020, and then we'll be back with this criticism. Don't go away.
I have so many questions, Sister Lucia, but let me start with the most obvious one. If someone were to say to you now, why what happened all those years ago had to have happened to you of all people, how would you respond?
Because it was necessary.
Necessary.
To spread her message.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speakers, Sadatullah and Brother Yasser. Brother Yasser, nearly at the beginning of the movie, the interviewer, basically the professor, who went to the old Lucia to ask him an interview about her visions, one of the seers. Why would that vision happen to you of all the people? And she said, she responded, this is her response. It was necessary to spread her message, right? Is that a good enough reason?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Understanding that the child, or the younger version of that same saint, was 10 at the time, she may not have known why it actually happened, or the reason why she was chosen, or the reason that she saw this particular vision or apparition, or this, if you want to put it in the Islamic terms, this mukashifa, this unveiling.
Right. Yes.
Right? You don't know. But it actually is necessary. Maybe it was necessary because what was happening from the other side of things, we saw that the governor of that particular village was very anti-religious.
Yes.
Was pushing a very anti-type of religious kind of idea, calling it fables and calling it, what did he call it, superstitions, and so on and so forth. So maybe it was necessary for a small group of people to understand that there is still a connection to the divine, that there is, you know, more than just this material world.
You mean to show them an ayah?
Not even an ayah, for example, or a sign, because the whole world at that time was encapsulated by war, right? World War One.
Yes.
You know, so it just like people throughout the world came to know of this, because Portugal was right smack in the middle of Europe.
Yes.
Right? And when it happened, you know, it didn't, you know, especially to three young girls, or two young girls and a young boy, which shows that the young boy wasn't actually listening. But anyway, that's another thing altogether. That it was necessary to show that, look, this is not the end of things. Right. It may be. Again, this is just, you know, possible. That don't think that the war is going to end everything.
I see.
There is more to life than just the physical world.
Right.
And I'm proof that there is more to it than just the physical world.
Thank you very much, Brother Yasser. Let's take a break by listening to a part of the movie Fatima, produced in 2020, directed by Marco Pontecorvo, and then we'll be back with his criticism. Don't go away.
Who are you? Where do you come from? Who are you talking to?
Can't you see her?
No! Enough of this joke!
Shh. I come from heaven.
Are you seriously from heaven? Will I go to heaven? I can see her now. What about Jacinta?
Also.
And Francisco?
What? Same, but...
What did she say?
I'll tell you later.
Our friend, Maria de Schneffs.
She's in heaven.
Why did you come? What do you want from us?
You must come back here. Every month. At this time. For the next 6 months. pray the rosary every day to bring peace to the world and to end the war. The world needs peace.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, in which we try to criticize the movie with religious themes. And one such movie was Fatima that we are trying to criticize with Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah. Sayyid Abdullah, the three children see the Lady of the Rosary or Virgin Mary, who tells them that she's from heaven when they ask them, who are you? She's from heaven and tells the children to pray the rosary every day to bring peace to the world and to end the world, because the world needs it, needs peace, right? It looks like they did. They were very devoted kids, right? And they took it very seriously, and they were impressed. So they did what she asked, but another world war started. Can we say it didn't happen at all?
The event? Look, like I said, it's one of these things that sometimes... Now, I don't want to confirm nor deny, but the thing is, like Brother Yasser said, sometimes when you have an area that is surrounded by war and... whatchamacallit, by war and pain and suffering, sometimes the imagination of human beings run wild, and then we create something just because we want hope out of something. I remember that we also, I think some of the Shias, we do that all the times. When things go worse, we start to look, oh, this is a sign for the Imam, this is to happen, this is going to happen, Sheikh Fulan said this, and then we're trying to create a hype for ourselves just to get us out of this mental situation that we're in. So it could have has happened. Mm-hmm. It could possibly happen. They could have seen Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, or Virgin Mary, or an angel that in a woman's form. They could have seen that. It's quite possible. It's not gharib or ajib for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create that. And it could be just, you know, the juice out of the problems that was squeezing the people at that time, and that they needed hope. So do the rosemary, do the prayers, and you know, a prayer can help end the war. But as we saw, the suffering continued, and even more, like you said, the new war started.
I see.
So it could, like I said, it could swing both ways. You just need to look at the facts.
Yeah, thank you very much for your nice contribution and comment here, and as well as Brother Yasser. Thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to this program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio. We try to criticize the movie Fatima, produced in 2020, directed by Marco Pontecorvo, but unfortunately we couldn't come to the end of its critique, so we have to postpone it to the upcoming episode. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
With you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Every hegemonic currency system has its day of collapse.
It is the U.S. itself that sets off the inevitable trend of the end of the dollar dominance, which may be what many American strategists and economic pundits are worried about. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT noted, the hegemony of the U.S. dollar is seriously challenged by the rise of the Chinese yuan and by Washington's failed attempt to wreck the Russian economy by weaponizing the greenback. Andriy Kostin, head of Russia's banking major VTB, told Reuters recently. The major banking figure said that under the current geopolitical circumstances, more and more nations are shifting away from trade settlements in dollar and euro, while China is moving towards removal of strict currency policies. Kostin said in an interview with the news agency Reuters, "The long historical era of the dominance of the American dollar is coming to an end. I think that the time has come when China will gradually remove currency restrictions." According to Kostin, VTB has been discussing using the Chinese national currency in settlements with third countries. China understands that they will not become world economic power number one if they keep their yuan as a non-convertible currency. He explained, adding that it was also dangerous for the People's Republic to keep reserves invested in U.S. treasuries. The U.S. dollar has been enjoying the status of the world's reserve currency for more than a century after it managed to subsume the British pound sterling. Earlier this month, J.P. Morgan Chase analysts said the global economy is showing signs of the emergence of de-dollarization against a background of rising efforts by Asian economies to challenge the American currency's hegemony. The greenback's long-standing status as the world's dominant currency has been steadily eroded in recent years due to mounting concerns over soaring U.S. debt and widely implemented sanctions using the currency as leverage. IMF has recently warned that the share of dollar in global reserves has been lowest in 28 years. Experts say the freezing of Russia's forex holdings has accelerated de-dollarization around the world. The process of diversifying away from the greenback by countries around the world is gathering pace, according to the latest data from the International Monetary Fund. The statistics tracked by the Washington-based institution show that the dollar's share of official gold and foreign currency reserves dropped to a nearly three-decade low of 58% in the first quarter of 2022. The move has reportedly been gradual, and the dollar share of central banks' foreign reserves is now nearly down to a level last seen in 1995. The long-standing status of the dollar as the world's dominant currency has been steadily eroded in recent years amid concerns over soaring U.S. debt and widely implemented sanctions using the currency as leverage. The shift was more pronounced when adjusted for exchange rates, according to Stephen Jen, CEO of Eurozone SLJ Capital Limited, as quoted by Reuters. He said, What happened in 2022 was a very sharp plummeting in the dollar share in real terms, calling the decline a reaction to the freezing of half of Russia's $640 billion in gold and FX reserves. According to Jen, the drastic step sparked a rethink in countries like Saudi Arabia, China, India, and Turkey about diversifying their reserves to other currencies. The yuan's share of global over-the-counter forex transactions has increased from nearly zero 15 years ago to 7%, according to the Bank for International Settlements, BIS. After the move against Russia, other countries are questioning, what if you fall on the wrong side of sanctions? BNY Mellon strategist Jeffrey Yu told the media. He said global central banks are currently seeking to diversify their assets, scooping up corporate debt, tangible assets such as real estate and other currencies. Mark Tinker, managing director of TAS Fund Hong Kong, told the agency, this is the process that is underway. The dollar is going to be used less in the global system. Meanwhile, Global Times noted, China and Brazil have reached a deal to trade in their currencies, the AFP reported, citing the Brazilian government recently. The deal will allow China and Brazil to carry out trade and financial transactions directly in the Chinese yuan or the Brazilian reais, instead of using the US dollar as an intermediary. The expectation is that this will reduce cost, promote even greater bilateral trade, and facilitate investment, the Brazilian Trade and Investment Promotion Agency, Apex Brazil, said in a statement. As China is Brazil's biggest trading partner, recording a record $150.5 billion in bilateral trade in 2022, it goes without saying that the deal comes from needs related to strong momentum of bilateral trade between the two countries. But more importantly, from the perspective of the global monetary system, the move may mark a significant development of the trend toward de-dollarization across the world, as countries are trying to trade in non-dollar currencies and seeking to diversify their foreign exchange reserves.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio.